I'm using a different Bible, and I'm sure it's in here. There it is. How many of you you have your same Bible forever and ever? And then how many of you just have a couple of different ones that you use? Okay. There's no right, there's no wrong. I'm just asking. I have quite a few that I've used over the years. But I got stuck on one, and then you don't know where that verse is because it's on the left-hand side down at the bottom, you know. So a couple of years ago, I changed Bibles on purpose just to get my brain going. Didn't work that much, but I actually went back to my old Bible. But this is actually not my... I'm going to stop. It does not matter. We studied the book of Philippians this year, like I said, from September to now. There were 17 different lessons in this book. And each week within those 17 lessons, there were many lessons that we learned, that we studied, and we looked at. And because we are all individuals, the Lord spoke different things to our hearts and to our lives. That's why it's so nice to get together and to find out, what did the Lord speak to you? What did the Lord speak to you? Or what new thing did he speak to you? Because a lot of us have read Philippians gazillions of times, or we've studied it, or we've, you know, listened to Bible study tapes on it, or whatever in the past. But because the Word of God is alive and powerful, it's just fresh and new every single time. And sometimes you find a verse that you didn't even know was in there and that the Lord ministers to you. So hopefully those things that we've learned this year have the Lord has worked in our heart. And it's not just we've learned them, but that we've learned them. They went down into our heart and then they've come out of our lives, and that we've grown through it. Reflection and review is so good. I have a strength in that I can move on from things very quickly and forget and move on. But it's also a big weakness of mine, because I can move on very quickly and then boom, it's gone. So for me, a review it's good, because it stops me and it makes me think back on, oh yeah, that's what you were speaking to me, or that's what you did. So I don't forget it. So it gets a little deeper in my heart and in my life. So the overall theme to this book is joy. We talked about that joy in Jesus, and the acronym for joy, the Jesus, others, and you. And as we began in this book, I asked, how can we have this joy in every circumstance in our lives that we're faced with? And for me, the answer is in chapter 2, verse 5, and that, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Because when we have the mind of Christ, and when we are following him and trying to be like him, that's where joy comes in. It's when we're ourselves and our selfish selves, There's no joy. So when I think of this overall theme of joy, my mind immediately goes to, let this mind be in you. So I'm just going to quickly run through some of these lessons that we learned over the past several months. Chapter 1, in verses 1 through 11, Paul talked about thankfulness, and that he thanked the Lord for those Philippian believers. And remember, it was a very personal letter. And so he thanked the Lord for them, and he prayed for them, remembering them in his prayers. And we talked about putting others first in our prayers and remembering others in our prayers, and then being encouraged that God, this is the scriptures that Morgan read before we started, that God is faithful, because he will continue that work. He'll complete that work that he has begun in our lives. And sometimes when you look at your life and you just think, I am getting nowhere, that's a great scripture to go back to. Okay, God, you said you're going to complete this work, and I don't have to complete it. He's going to complete it in me. In verses 12 through 18, we talked about being living epistles, What gospel is our life writing that other people are reading? Can when they watch our lives, do they see the gospel of Christ? And then verses 19 through 26, Paul said that he relied on the prayers of the saints and then the supply of the Holy Spirit. We talked about relying on other people's prayers, asking them to pray for us and not being afraid to ask, but we need that. We need that prayer. And then that wonderful verse, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That all of me for you forever, Lord, I want to surrender all and live for you. I want to eat and breathe and sleep and walk and talk Jesus all the time. And in verses 27 through 30, we talked about our conduct, that our way of life needs to be worthy of the gospel of Christ. And we talked about the fact that we are different. We're different people as Christians. We're different from this world. And then in chapter 2, which is just an amazing chapter, verses 1 through 4, we learned about not having any selfish ambition and we're not to have any conceit, or we are to be of one mind. We're to be to the same love, one mind and one accord, and we're to put others first. And that, to me, that's a lesson that should probably be a daily lesson for each one of us to go over every single day. Okay, this is the day, Lord, that I'm going to put others first. I'm going to put others before myself. And then in those wonderful verses in 5 through 11, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And those verses are, they make me stand in awe. I remember we were over in the auditorium when we went through this, and I played that My King message. Because of who he is, and that at the mention of his name one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord, and that God has highly exalted him. And just, and again, it leaves me speechless. Verses 12 through 18 talked about living out our salvation, not working for, but living it out. We're saved people. Now live that way, and that God is working in us both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And then we're not to complain. I don't know if that one stands out to anybody. That one, for some reason, the Lord's been speaking that one to me recently. Oh, yeah, that's right. Not supposed to complain. And then in verses 19 through 24, we learned about Timothy, his proven character, and how just as Paul was like the Lord, Timothy was like the Lord in caring for these Philippians and being Christ-like. And then we moved into verses 25 through 30 and Epaphroditus, who didn't think of self at all. He didn't regard his life, and he was sick almost unto death for Jesus' sake. And chapter 3, which is another incredible chapter. I mean, this whole book is such a little book. It's such a short book. And it's so deep, so meaty, so rich. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, about no confidence in the flesh, not leaning to our accomplishments and living off of those, but forgetting about them, counting all things loss, and forgetting the things that are behind and pressing on to the things that are ahead. And then Paul said in, I think it's 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, that passion that we're to have. And then in verses 12 through 16, the need for further growth in our life. You know, Paul said, I haven't attained, and none of us have attained. We haven't even gotten close to even close to being having attained. We need to grow, and we need to have one aim and purpose, and then again the forgetting and the pressing on. Verses 17 through 21, we talked about godly patterns. We had our little apron demonstration. And the need for godly patterns in our life, and then that we are to be a godly pattern. That, again, that gospel that people are watching our lives, and what conclusion about the Lord are they coming to by watching our lives? That's a sobering thought. And then just most recently in chapter 4, in verses 1 through 5, we talked about avoiding and resolving conflict. Those are good lessons for us to keep in our belt to use. And then in verses 6 through 7, about being anxious for nothing, turning our worries and our thoughts into prayer and living in that atmosphere of prayer. And then that peace that guards our heart. We can live and walk in that peace. No anxious thoughts. We're all pretty good at being anxious, but we need to grow in being better at having that peace rule in our heart and mind. And then in verses 8 through 9, those taking our thoughts captive and think on those things that are lovely and true and pure and of good report and just and praiseworthy, and taking all of those worry thoughts, turning them to prayer, and then thinking on the good things, good lesson, keeping our minds on Jesus. And then lastly, in verses 10 through 23, we talked about contentment. Taking our needs to the Lord, not advertising them, but giving them to the Lord, knowing that He will supply everything that we need. And He gives us the strength to go through any kind of circumstance in our lives. And then we also talked about being a giver, that we need to be a giver in the kingdom of God. So many rich lessons. And, Philippians has been a very good friend of mine for 30 years now. And I love the book and I love the lessons. And, as I said in the beginning, it really is so individual. Even though, I read through those, which were kind of the when I was speaking with you these last months, those were the points I was making. And we can all remember those, yet God spoke so much more to each one of us. And before we started this evening, I was in the prayer room with the group leaders, and we were sharing about what is that thing that the Lord spoke to you on, maybe that one thing, which is hard to narrow it down. And as I sat there and listened to each one, I'd think, oh, yeah, that's very good. That's good. Yeah. Taking those thoughts captive and thinking on those good things. Yes, yes, yes. And then she would say, oh, I shouldn't be anxious. Oh, that's right. Yes, that is really good. Or, on and on and on through the book. Each one of us can say, yes, that was good. But then each one of us has something personal, maybe some new revelation or something that He's spoke to us before, but just keeps planting in our hearts and in our lives. And for me, when I think of Philippians, and even though all those things that they shared and all these things that we went over this year, they come from my heart. They come from what the Lord is speaking to me and doing in my life. But I think overall, when I just kind of step back and somebody brings up the book of Philippians, what ministers to me, the theme for me in that book is, personally, I don't think of this overall theme of joy. I don't think of that. I think of three things in the book of Philippians. And these are the three things for me over the last 30 years that the Lord has continually spoken to me and obviously I haven't learned it all, and he's still speaking to me in these things. And first thing is in chapter 1, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I remember being a new Christian and listening or reading that and hearing about that and like, wow, that's really a bold statement. Because, you know, you have to fill in the blank. For to me to live is what? And each one of us, before knowing the Lord, and then sometimes even while we're walking with him, that answer may not be Christ. For to me to live is recreation. For to me to live is crafts. For me to live is gardening. For, you know, I mean, there's just shopping. I mean, there's all kinds of things that, and I won't talk about you, I'll talk about me, that I can put my time into. For to me to live is what? And for the past 30 years, he has worked in my life and is working in my life that for me to live is Christ, to spend my time for Christ. Not that any of the other stuff is bad or wrong, but the bulk of my time that I have, to spend it for him. And what that means in your life may be different than what it means in my life, but for me, it means I'm in that word and I'm studying and I'm letting that word get in my heart, and I'm learning and I'm growing, and then I'm serving. And so for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me to live is serving him and giving him my 100% all the time and serving him. We can do a lot of things with our life. I can do a lot of things with my life. And, you know, I'm not old, but I'm getting older, and you get tired. You really get tired, you know, and with physical things that I deal with, and then just stuff that are just trials and things that I, you know, relationships and things like that I have to deal with that are hard. You can just want to just say, forget it. I just want to ease. I just want to ease. But the Lord, he won't let me. He won't let me. And that verse just rings in my ears when you say Philippians, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Sometimes the dying gain thing looks a lot better than the living thing. But for to me, I have to live for Christ. I'm an all or nothing person. I can't do the middle thing. It has to be all about Jesus. And when I say that, I don't want you getting the wrong impression that I am just always floating around spiritually in my home. Never, you know, that is not the case. So I hope you know what I'm trying to say. The second thing is, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That portion, and then, you know, that goes on, that was in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, didn't think it robbery to be equal with God. That whole thing that I've had in my heart for years, and every time I try to quote it, I kind of get some words wrong, so I have to always paraphrase it. So I'm not going to do it for you, because then I'll really stumble over it. But that section is so humbling to me, and I just stand in awe that Jesus, God the Son, would stoop so low to come to this earth and to die for my sin. And you know, my sin, it's ugly, it's wicked, it's awful. And I'm just like you. I'm not an axe murderer or a bank robber or, you know, all those bad things that we think of. But it just blows me away. And then, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Well, what mind is that? Well, then you go up those few verses of, let each of you I'm going to get it wrong. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each of you esteem others better than yourself. And putting others first. I think you're a little bit like me in this, in that I kind of think about myself a little bit too much. And I kind of put myself first a little bit too much. So these verses are really good for me. Because that's the mind of Christ. That's Jesus. I don't think I've ever even gone through 5 minutes without not thinking of myself, with putting someone before me. It always ends up back at me, you know? So I need these verses. So when I think of Philippians, I think of, oh, let this mind be in you. And then I go through all those verses in my mind and look to Jesus, and I'm just humbled. And then in chapter 3, in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. I love that verse. And years and years and years ago, I don't know how old the kids were, but we're down in 10th and F, and I did VBS that year, and that was our theme. And I think I taught the 5th and 6th grade class or the 4th, I don't know what it was, but I was still learning that verse and teaching those kids, and the Lord has cemented that in my heart, that I would be passionately pursuing him, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. And boy, has he taken me through some things since then to know the fellowship of his suffering. I just want to walk more in the power of his resurrection. So for me, Philippians, that's what Philippians is to me. Christ, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain, and to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. So as you go in your groups tonight, you can have a little bit of a longer time to share with one another that you think about what does this book mean to you? What maybe new, fresh thing has he shown you? But what's been in your heart if you've walked with the Lord for any length of time? What is it that you're just drawn to, that the Lord ministers to you? Or if you're brand new, and maybe you're just brand new and you've never even read the book and you've just heard what I have said, what one thing stuck out? Like, wow, boy, I never thought of that. And then if you haven't taken time this last week to reflect on it, then you will be able to in your group as you sit and you listen. And we learn so much from one another and hearing them, hearing each other share. It just, I absolutely love it. It just ministers to my heart. I don't think I am ever, I don't know how to say this. Every time I'm with a Christian, I get ministered to. It does not matter who they are or what they have said. The Lord ministers to me something about him. And it's just absolutely wonderful. So take advantage of that time in your group. And if you're not used to going to group anyway, so you can share your heart and share what the Lord has done, and then listen to your sister. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this living word. And thank you for this book of Philippians that you have just planted in our hearts over this past year as we have read it and reread it and reread it and reread it. And as we have taken time to stop and to think and to listen to you and to talk to you about what does that mean and what does that mean to me, Lord? What do you want in my life, and what do you want me to do? Thank you that you are faithful to complete that work that you've begun. Thank you that you've begun a work in every single one of our lives, and that you are working and you will complete it. And Father, I thank you for the fellowship that we have with one another. And just as Paul, as he was thanking you for those Philippian believers. Lord, I thank you for these women who sit here tonight, who have came last week and the week before and the week before and all the way back to September. Thank you for their commitment to you, Lord, their hunger, their desire to grow, to be more like you. Thank you for them sharing with one another and ministering to one another. Thank you for the way that your body works and how we all need each other. And then you use us in each other's lives. Thank you, Lord. We are so rich. You've given us so much, Lord. We are blessed. Our cups runneth over. Thank you and praise you, Lord. And now I pray that as my sisters go into their groups, Lord, open their eyes to see wondrous things from your word. Stir up their hearts, their remembrance, Lord. So many of us, we just have trouble remembering. So bring those things to their remembrance and so that they can share and minister to one another. Bless their time, Lord. And may you be glorified. We thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. And God bless you. And don't forget about next week and the week after.